letter? That's actually a really bad, that's a real platter.
You've never had poo poo platter?
No.
I like how you can't say poo poo platter without cracking up first. That's important.
He's also bright red right now because he said poo poo like six times.
That's how you know Chucky's having a good time. When he turns bright red, you can't see his eyes anymore. Look at that.
Oh my god.
His eyes just fade.
They're just gone. And what's amazing is that little wire over his forehead makes him look like a tiara. Oh shit. Well, are we recording?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, welcome everybody to PortableChicken.com Shotgun
welcome.
Therapy. Episode 6. Tonight we are joined by...
Oh, me. Hi. Rob, the notorious ROB. What's up?
And of course, the infamous ODT.
ODT, Tony's got it.
Oh, right. Tony's got it. Tony's got it. All right. Tony's happy, wealthy, wise, and very red in the face. Very, very red. He brought us some sushimi tonight.
Mm-hmm. And a very special place.
It was delicious.
It went yum yum in my tum tum.
And of course, to my right,
Alex.
Alex is here. And
do we have to pronounce it like that every time?
Yeah.
That's gonna get old.
It actually has a little tilde over the entire name on his license. It says that just like Alex. And
Alex.
You haven't seen his license picture before, have you? He had like one where he had like a pinky up to his thing, like Dr. Evil style.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
They let him take it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's the DMV.
That's incredible.
The DMV doesn't care. That's how the DMV works. And of course, Jeff. So welcome everybody to Portable Chicken. Sixth time. We've actually done this six times now.
Are you sure?
That's like a month and a half worth of Wednesdays.
You sound like a porno slut. We've done this six times already.
That's not exactly a porno slut. That's like a part-time porno slut, okay. I think. I mean, if you're only working like one day a week in porn,
maybe.
You don't actually have a job. That's, you know, it's not enough money.
You're just part-time. An extra, maybe? Contract
you know,
employee.
I mean, it's
you know,
a temp.
I think they get paid really well to just, you know, take the DP. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
like the DP just pays well?
Well, I don't know. I mean, do they pay you double for taking two at once or triple?
I don't know. Actually, I mean, I don't know what the rate is. I'm sure it's fairly high because I know like there was a study when we were talking about local strippers, like a stripper here at the Diamond Cabaret makes like $250,000 a year, something like that, pretty averagely, which is a decent amount of money for stripping. But my point with that would be
the wrong line of work.
Once you actually go do that, then you're actually hanging out with other porn stars, and then you know you've got to keep up with a coke habit, and it gets really expensive. That's the whole point.
Yeah, so, the cost of living, really.
Yeah, I mean you have
in the valley, you know,
you have to go buy like some sort of like a Rottweiler or something afterwards, and then or actually,
where are you going with that? I'm going to the valley to become a porn star. Fuck off.
Rob's eyes are just getting bigger than his stomach right now.
You know, honestly, what I've heard is that guys who do gay porn are mainly straight men who just don't make enough in the regular porn industry.
That's correct.
So they just figure, hey, what's another hole?
They are gay for pay.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is very interesting. You know, you figure that you'd love what you do, you know, but I mean, some people are just like, fuck it for the money, dude. Literally, fuck it for the money.
So Kevin Smith had it wrong, and Zach and Mary have a porno where the guy's like, I love cock, I love cock, I love cock. It's all about like, well, really, I'm just bored and fluffing doesn't pay enough.
Uh-huh.
All right. This makes sense.
Sometimes we all just need a little dick.
Too much Kevin Smith. Too much Kevin.
There's no such thing as too much Kevin Smith. He's one of my favorites.
And oddly enough, one of those people that proves he can be more productive on weed than off weed, which is just incredible. It's like now he's a workaholic that he smokes so much weed that it would kill a small cow.
He's like doing three films. He's written five already. And that's when he started weeding up every day. Like, he wake and bakes, and then lunch and bakes, and then shit and bakes, and he's all over the bacon.
So I guess the point is, if you want to be productive
bacon.
Kids, you move to Colorado. or at least you smoke enough dope in California, because they really don't care there. Either way. Well, makes sense.
Actually, you would be surprised what they care about. A buddy of mine has, you know, what is it, Sirius, like the satellite radio, whatever, and Kiss FM in LA is one of the feeds on there. And you wouldn't believe what they censor on the radio in LA. You would figure, like, songs that have words like hell and damn and ass and references to sex in them would be able to just play out. But no, they censor that shit like crazy. My favorite censor moment from LA, of all places, is in Blurred Lines. You know, you're the finest bitch in this place. They changed it to "You're the finest hoe in this place."
Well, that's classy.
Oh yeah, which makes me laugh because I'm like, which makes me laugh because ask any woman you know, ask any woman you know, she would probably rather be called a bitch than a hoe. You're and they the changed fine. It yeah. to hoe.
And I keep waiting for what "You're the finest in the place,"
right? I'm just like, friggin' LA. They should be able to say what they want on the radio. Like Rihanna's S&M, "Sex in the Air." That line is, you know, blank in the air. Like, they can't say the word sex on the radio in Los Angeles. What happened to LA?
So were they allowed to do the whole skeet, 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 skeet thing? Did that make it through?
I've not heard that song on that station, but I should ask them.
Did you guys hear that? I heard that LA, from now on when you do porn in LA, that you have to wear a rubber. Is
yes.
that true?
They're ruining the industry. They're ruining the industry. Yeah. Oh my God. They're just ruining the
industry.
Which
is fine by me. But what do you do when you get done? You just like take it out and then slap the girl with it?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Love
messy,
hot sex. Well, they take it off for the cum shot.
Do they? Okay.
Obviously.
So, yeah, but, I mean,
no,
that,
no.
They, that is no safer.
They finish off screen and they leave it to your imagination because it's sexier that way. Fuck no. They rip that shit off and blow.
I mean, my question is, did they actually have like PSAs announcing this or what? Like, was there like an advertisement in all the porn star like offices was like, by the way, due to legal regulation Bill F-124 that you actually must wear a condom. We'll provide three condoms before
you.
No,
what's funny is I actually heard, I think, on BPI when I was to the morning show.
Hmm.
Guys, I'd like you to gather around here. Just get everyone in the semicircle. Couple changes here. We're going to have to start wearing rubbers.
That wasn't in the script. This is not the script I signed on for. You've changed the entire story of my piece.
Signed on to do Bareback Cum Sluts Volume 17. I'm pretty sure we're going to have to do some script revisions now.
Everyone knows that the odd numbers are the bareback ones. You can't just do that.
It's all right, guys. We've got a little bit of a budget here. We're gonna go get some CGI. Make sure those rubbers just look fleshlike, right?
You know what's amazing is that I was really not considering doing the gay porn until the condom law came into place, and now I'm perfectly happy with the gay porn. Don't ask me. I'm just upsetting about these things. You know.
Wow, we are raunchy tonight. Ow!
Well, you know, last week was like a little bit too A-list, like Denver-centric, so I figured this week, why not?
Yeah. Then we got the ODT in the house.
Yeah, Tony just turns everything dirty.
Sorry.
Like, the second's like,
sorry.
Let's
I
talk about porn.
I just broke up with my girlfriend, so, you know, I'm still in the problem.
So,
like,
so porno, porno. That old sweet song.
So,
he's got porno on his mind.
That's right.
But can you see Fisted on the radio?
And we won up it.
I think it was either one of the morning shows or maybe one of the talk radio shows or something. They were talking about how Barack and Michelle Obama like to fist bump. It's like this cute little couple thing that they do. And I'm like, aw, they didn't call it fist bumping. And everybody... And everybody was mortified that they suggested that the president and the first lady liked to fist.
So I'm just picturing like a little kid being driven to school. Like, do morning shows actually take this into effect? Like, is the morning show on like when kids are being driven to school?
Probably.
So like,
what else do their parents listen to?
Can you imagine me, the elementary school teacher, like, they're like, but Jamie and Kennedy in the morning said they liked to fist in the afternoon. Is that right?
I think there's a bird in here.
Yeah, that was just ridiculous. So it's like, you know, the president and the first lady enjoy fisting, and everybody just went, a-boo. And they showed a picture when they said it, of course, of the two of them being all cute, you know, bumping fists. And I'm just like, honey, that's not what that's called.
And somebody on the morning show had to eventually call and be like, I'd like them to stop their fisting and go back to Al-Qaeda land. That's
right.
Sort of
it just spun wildly out of control.
And the NSA was cracking up off their rocker on that one, being like, they said what?
Touching our fists.
And Joe Biden just had that shit-eating grin like he did yesterday. You know?
Joe Biden always has a shit-eating grin.
Yeah, people are making fun
of
him.
They call him Joe Shit-Eating Grin Biden.
It was great because like Joe Biden had like the Joker face and Boner was rolling his eyes at the same time. And you just had to
love that you call him Boner.
Because that's his name.
Boner Stabone.
His name's not Boner.
Oh, Boner.
It's spelled like Boner, but that's not how it's said. It's okay.
I'm pretty sure I saw him on TV once. Yeah.
I thought it was Boehner, but like Boner. Everybody calls him Boner to be derogatory. His name is not really Boner, because if his name is really Boner, I've missed out on years of fucking torment that I could have been directing toward him.
John Boner. It's okay now. Condoms are required. It's just... That's God. The way it, it's also the way it is in Washington.
I really hope... never mind.
I'm sorry. We watched Wolf of Wall Street the other day, and I still have all of those big debaucherous parties on my mind where he's talking about the different levels of hookers, and he's talking about like some are like NASDAQ. Some are like...
These are our penny stocks.
The penny stock hooker versus the NASDAQ hooker versus... Well, and just immediately when we started talking about Boner, then I had to immediately just go straight to, is he a penny stock guy? No, he's more of a NASDAQer. He's more of a NASDAQer.
Do you think he spray tans?
Oh, yeah.
Ew.
Are you kidding?
What is he?
You don't get that color of orange by any type of natural tanning or tanning bed.
What does he use, like the Kardashian tanning spray? Or
probably.
Yeah, you know.
It's like,
oh, yes,
instantly look
so
like a talentless
whore. Yes.
We use Guido.
Fuck
Guido body spray.
Guido Tanning Salon. Come in. Get your tang on. I got a tang. You need a tan?
God,
no, I got a tang.
You know what's funny, though? I once heard that you can actually get crabs from the tanning. Can you get diseases from being in there?
I'm pretty sure you could.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Well, it serves you right for giving yourself cancer in the long run.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Is
you might as well get something else while you're at it.
You won't be able to get diseases from doing porno, but you might be able to get diseases from getting in a tanning bed.
Oh, sweet fancy Moses.
Yeah, so now you know why we call him ODT.
I do.
Yeah, ODT, Old Dirty Tony. I think you've done everything like ODB would be jealous of you, except for you haven't knocked as many people up and haven't had a welfare license.
No,
you haven't died, so kudos.
Yeah. Kudos
you
to the dying
death.
Yeah, you know, dying is a bad day, you know, normally, but you know.
But
I'm going to die another day, it's fine.
So Tony's been there for a lot of weird debauchery. We've known this guy for a long time. But yeah, there's one particular road trip to Miami, he got us real good. And we're driving back from this kind of whole like spring break situation, and we get pulled over by a member of the Florida State Patrol. Who was driving? Was it me?
That was me. I was doing 90.
That's right.
I was doing 90 in the 70 zone, and the police officer said, "Will you please step out of the vehicle?" And I said, "Yes, sir."
And we're like, "Oh, well, shit." Because one, we're still hungover. I mean, there was moments in this trip where I woke up in the bottom of a pool with scuba gear in my mouth. After they left me there, like just one
left
of those
you there.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see any of you assholes. I eventually had to go to the garage to find my clothes. It was just one of those trips.
Yes, the drunken debauchery in Miami is the best. Thank
so,
you, Alex.
So what ends up happening is we're trying to drive. Like we decided to take an alternate route home because we went through New Orleans on the way there, and on the way back we decided to go through like St. Louis. I don't know why, but anyway,
because East.
It was shorter. It was 6 hours shorter to go through Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, that's right, because we actually had that whole thing as far as, like...
We had Neon Cowboy problems.
Yeah, we were trying to pick up, I think, LP in the New Orleans airport, and then we canceled that and just hung out in New Orleans for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And then, or anyway, on the way back. So we were getting out of Miami. We're all still a little bit hungover that day. I think were we still drinking in the car?
Not that I know.
No. We were definitely not drinking.
I guarantee you I was hungover, though.
Yeah, we were all just a little bit hanging there. So Tony was speeding in Florida, and of course the State Patrol in Miami at the time would still give you the whole
announcement. We were not in Miami. We were in Orange County.
Orange County.
Yeah.
But again, not my mental capacity at that point. So you were doing how fast, Tony?
I was doing 90 in a 70 zone.
90 in a 70.
In a minivan.
In a minivan.
In Jake Brown's minivan. The Battle Wagon, if I remember.
The Battle Wagon.
Yeah.
And so the cop pulls you out of the car. We're sitting there waiting. It just takes a little bit too long. And pretty soon the cop marches back up to the car and is like, "Hey, guys, I've got to take him in. He's got a warrant. And I tell you what, the station's just down the road. Are any of you capable of driving right now?" And one of our friends raises her hand and she's like, "I can do it." And we're all like, "Oh, fuck. So we know we're going to have to bail your ass out at the time." They're like, "Oh, what the hell, man?" And we're all having that moment just like everything stopped. Like everything paused. Like somebody scratched a record and we're just stopped. And the cop's walking back to his car. And pretty soon, Tony comes prancing like a reindeer up the side of the car. And what did you say?
"I got you, fuckers."
And then pretty soon, the State Patrolman just goes, "April Fools, everyone."
You know what's funny? He's back there when he's writing the ticket. And I was like, "Well, you know, if you're going to write me a ticket," I was like, we got to fuck these guys up a little bit. You know what I mean? Because, like, I'm paying good money for this ticket. And he's like, "Oh, what do you want to do?" And I was like, "Why don't you just tell him you're going to arrest me?" And he was like, "Oh, got it."
Guys, I like how you're like, hey, I'm paying some good tax dollars on this ticket. This is out-of-state money, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what you better do? Yeah, you better make an announcement.
This is mom and dad's hard-earned college money right here, so.
And to be fair, this was a get us back moment where we were giving Tony shit the entire trip. Like, we made him hit on every girl on the beach.
Oh, we made him shave the big hairy T.
We made him shave a T into his chest. Oh. At the
no, not into his chest. Out of his
it was a tee of hair.
Austin Powers style. It was funny that later on that evening, I ran into some girl and she goes, guess what? There was this idiot and he had a cock and balls shaved into his chest and he's running around the campus hitting on girls. It was so gross. And I was like, that was me. She's like, oh. And I was like, you want to see it? She's like, yeah.
Do you remember that time over at Mav's house with the fridge?
Yeah.
That was amazing. No.
What was even better was the window incident.
Hold on. We have to explain the fridge situation. God, the fridge situation was funny.
So we're at a party to this really tiny house in Boulder. Like, it is right on the hill, tiny red house.
But the entire ceiling is mirrored. And it kind of freaks you out because when you first walk in, you're like, well, who's walking above me?
Optical illusion.
You definitely think you're in a midget home. You're just like,
but it looks like a small barn. Yet it was never intended to be a barn. It just looks that way. It's just this small red house. Anyways,
so Tony's making out with this chick in the kitchen. And he's trying to get her shirt off. And, like, he's got the bra off, shirt's coming off. She goes, oh my God, why are we doing this? This is in the middle of the kitchen. What, do you need some privacy? She's like, yeah. That'd be great. And then he opens a fridge door.
What a gentleman.
Keep in mind, mirrored ceiling.
Yes, I love college. I love parties. It's a very good time. Yes, you see?
Have you ever ran into somebody that says, you know, it'd be a great thing to do today? Let's go do some bath salts.
It depends. How hungry are you for human flesh?
That's right. So everybody jumps in the car and goes to the Bed Bath & Beyond, right? Where did somebody come up with the idea of bath salts? Because Bed Bath & Beyond does not carry illegal substances to my knowledge, but you know, it'd probably be a great place.
It's in the Beyond section, obviously.
Bed Bath and Beyond.
I'd like to get really beyond today.
Like, you know what I was thinking today? I was thinking, you know what? These linens look nice. You know what makes these linens look nicer? Go beyond the bath salt section,
right.
Kids.
That's right.
Seriously, how do you register for that? Like, go to Bed Bath & Beyond and just be like, I'd like to register for all the bath salts, all of them.
So finally, they're getting married. Let's check the registry. Bath salts, bath salts, bath salts.
Are they
bath salts,
trying to tell us
bath
something?
Salts and linens. Got it. All right. Well, one stop shopping. That's easy.
Oh, yes.
Never register at Target. That's the entire point of that entire
Never
story.
Shop
yeah, you
at
know
Target.
What though? You know what's so funny is that Target was a Target of a Target. You know what I mean? Because you actually sit down and watch the commercial, and they have a person who's shooting an arrow at a Target. And I guarantee you, that's what the hacker was thinking. He was like, dude, they're Target, so I'm going to make them a Target.
Oh, I'm sure that's what inspired
them. I'm sure the hackers were sitting around taking some bath salts. They're like, man, that commercial makes total sense.
Let's get them.
You want me to steal the PIN numbers? Okay, I can steal the PIN numbers. That's easy. It's just a Target of a Target. Of a Target.
That little dog with the bullseye on its face talked to them through the television.
Like Spud McKenzie style. He's like, take my PIN number. Thank you, dog. Thank you, dog. Anyway.
We'll be right back.
Target of a Target of a Target.
So we have just lost ODT. He is off out for the night. Apparently he has the quote-unquote hot date.
So he's not out for the night. He's in for the night.
I mean, if anyone didn't notice, ODT stepping into the room by itself like a petri dish just dirtied up the entire room.
Man, I still have some on me.
It's okay. It's legal in California.
Oh, good. Get me to California.
Get me to California, where they say you should wear a condom. So it's been a whole weird week of weather, which I guess we're getting some snow tomorrow, but Atlanta apparently got some snow this week.
And lost their freaking minds.
Oh, God. You know, so I actually got into some trouble today because I posted this thing about I didn't understand how, like, 3 inches of snow could cause a disaster event. And there was a whole bunch of people that jumped all over me for that. Like, you just don't understand the South. And I'm like, okay, that wasn't what I asked. I asked, how did this happen? Because I don't understand. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from a place where it's cold, you don't get snowplows. But yes, we know how to drive in snow because you grew up with it. And I totally understand because I've been like to Pascagoula, Mississippi in an ice storm before. And I understand like driving in the South is shitty during those moments. But I was completely unprepared for exactly how defensive they are about it. And it's a totally sad situation. Let's get that out of the way first.
Of course.
But wow. Just wow. Like a complete meltdown of like an entire place over 2 inches of snow.
I have nothing eloquent to say about that because everything that I would say about that was pretty much encapsulated by your posts. So
oh, you're right.
Completely on your side.
And the worst part about it, I think, was just trying to like, I was looking for information because I'm like, all right, well, what is wrong with Atlanta that this happened? Because, I mean, Atlanta's full of smart people. It's tech corridor. You know, like there's a whole bunch of things going on there. Like CNN's based out of Atlanta. I mean, Coca-Cola is not a smart company, but it's from there.
Yeah. It's a company.
But like Adult Swim, StuffYouShouldKnow.com is all based out of that Atlanta area. And there's like, I realize it's a highly educated place. There's a lot of smart people. You think that the news would at least say, hey, by the way, it's snowing, drive slow. And I guess I still just don't totally understand what happened. But man, after I started posting about it, I posted the CNN article originally. Other people started posting stuff from a little offshoot websites. And it seemed like it was like good information, good information, good information. Fuck you, Yankees, and then good information.
Yeah,
I was like, holy crap, really? It's like, no, we're not saying, hey, it's your fault. We're saying, what the hell happened? That's it. That's
it's
all.
I'm sorry. It's a valid question. I mean, I understand these are troubled times for the climate, literally, of our country, because there has been some weird ass shit in the last few years hitting the United States, and I understand that's a lot to contend with, especially in a region where you're not so, you know, familiar with, you know, just those kind of conditions.
Right.
But really, just, I don't know, educate yourself. Just don't, yeah, question.
Doesn't Georgia have a lot of rainfall?
Yeah,
and you're from Florida.
Yeah, that's what
Florida.
I'm saying.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so what's more deadly, 3 inches of snow versus 3 inches of water?
Water,
hydroplaning.
Every time.
Yeah.
So, apparently, Georgia drivers have no problem with dealing with 3 inches of frickin' water. I'm just gonna be a little abrasive here. What if you guys slowed down a bit to, say, maybe an NTSB sort of level, which would be a whopping 35 miles per hour instead of your usual 70 to 80 on the highway, and just dealt with 3 inches of snow? It's not that hard. You've dealt with standing water, and you can't plow that.
Yeah, because like the issue we have here is people driving too fast in snow. Like,
right.
But it's because they're overconfident. It's not because they don't know better. It's just because they're in an F-150, and they're like, I'm just going to plow through everything.
They think they're impervious.
Which is why when I'm like driving to Colorado Springs and I go past Monument, and I see like an F-150 crushed on the corner because they just went too fast, you know? Like, I can see that happening, but it still seems like it's a city filled with smart people.
Yeah.
We know that there's smart people in Atlanta. And it seems to me like I just can't wrap my brain about what happened. Like, okay, you have infrastructure, you've got hills. You've got a city where you've got state government, local government, county government, all fighting with each other. But, I mean, they just had an ice storm in 2011 and went through this before. And it seemed like it was just like this moment of like, oh, we all spaced off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and decided to let everybody out. Okay, I get that. Still, I don't see how that would freeze up the highway for 2 days.
Did the liberal media over in Georgia just drum all this up, and we're dealing with all the hyperbole and a whole bunch of people panic for no good goddamn reason?
I think it's funny that you're all the liberal media.
Well, because that's the only media there is, man. Even that Fox News, just not, you know, they're not libertarian either, but still, they're too liberal. I once heard him say something nice about like Hillary Clinton. That Hannity is too liberal.
What?
That Hannity, I tell you, that Hannity is a Clinton supporter, I swear.
I don't believe it.
Do you remember the sign that I wanted to, the company I wanted to start so I can adopt a highway over in Georgia?
No. What was it?
It was, Welcome to Georgia, Sweetland of Mystery and Ignorance Incorporated.
Oh, God.
It's never too late.
Oh,
never too late.
Man.
This could be the birth of something great.
We are
going to
be banned out of Hotlanta. We're never actually going to be able to dance over that Shark Tank, are we? Damn you, Hotlanta. No, I mean, it sucks because, all right, all this stuff happened and they're in this terrible situation, but it seems like it was completely man-made. And it just, my brain's still wrapping my head around I'm sorry, I'm still wrapping my head around what could have been the situation where this got that bad. I just...
Snow's man-made, bro. Snow's man-made.
I guess you're right, bro. Boom. They brought in the snow machine. It's like, now we know how to finally rob the first bank of Atlanta. You know, it's like, bring in a snow machine. Oh, we're going to hell.
In a hand basket.
Like, no, there's snow all around the bank. We can't get to it, Simon. I know. God damn it, Simon Jr. You know.
What was your biggest issue? The fact that you were criticizing the South, or the fact that you're criticizing the driving in the South?
Well, no, that's the whole thing. Like, originally I posted it because it wasn't criticizing either one. I was just like, how the hell did 2 inches of snow do that? And I think it got taken, and what I'm actually reacting to right now is that it seemed like the people who were from the South felt like I was attacking it, but I wasn't. I was really like, I really don't understand this. Like, what happened? And immediately there's this whole thing is like, either like, no, you just don't understand. It's not set up for that. No, I get that. I get that it's not set up for this, but I didn't read anything about infrastructure problems. And they're like, well, people aren't used to it. But they seem kind of apologetic about that. Like, they're not used to it, but you should just forgive them for that. Just leave it alone, bro. Leave it alone. You know, that sort of feeling. And I was like, okay, well, I get they're not used to it, but that doesn't mean you shut down a city of 6 million people. That's the whole thing. Like, I understood, like, when Pascagoula got its ice storms, we would close down the shipyards because it'd be people that watch NASCAR not driving on ice, and you don't want that happening because, you know, we're talking about a city that takes off Mardi Gras because you have to take off Mardi Gras because you don't want people welding drunk.
You just don't?
It's a rule, right?
Like, are you sure?
Same sort of situation. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, but you should still be able to get around. And later, I have a better picture of it now, but there's still this feeling like because the conversation was on Facebook, it was different than having a conversation in a room. And this was actually brought up in the news today about, like, politics and Facebook, about how people get way too partisan in discussions with friends and how it's severing all these relationships with friends and all further alienating people from Facebook. Like, that's the real problem. You know? And I experienced some of that today. It was more along the lines of, okay, people that I felt like if I was standing there next to them having the conversation, it would have been fine because then we could have properly conveyed the whole... No, I'm not trying to criticize
the nuance.
There's no nuance involved. It's like when we talked about there should be a sarcasm symbol on text messages because sarcasm will never convey properly.
Never translates. Yeah, it gets lost.
Same sort of situation. And then it gets in the whole thing of like people I know that were old coworkers talking to the people that are other friends that are from the South. And they're like, no, these people are raiding grocery stores. They're idiots. I'm like, nope, that's not what I was saying. That's what that person said.
Right.
You know, and then it gets to that whole level of things. It's just amazing how that works out. And wondering, will the internet ever get past that?
Oh, no. It's the internet. You're giving it way too much credit.
But it kind of has to eventually, doesn't it?
No.
Can I tell one of my favorite statements about the internet? It's not entirely politically correct, but it's so true for these
troubled
times.
Yeah, because our entire discussion about condoms in California.
Okay, so fighting on the internet is a lot like even if you win, you're...
Oh, jeez.
And I'm sorry, troubled times that where people blow their minds with all this ridiculous, just, they get so bent out of shape over the littlest stuff online, I'm just like, you know what?
It's like a certain amount of personal pride just, like, jumps in there, and all of a sudden you gotta defend it. Did you guys see the Daily Show thing about minimum wage?
No.
Oh, so
I bet it was delightful, though.
Oh boy, it's I think Samantha Bee doing it.
Good old Sam.
She's interviewing this one government official, and he's talking about how minimum wage should not be applied because if you have different pricing, that allows people not to be hired, they're just gonna not create jobs. And he's finally like, well, she goes, well, who would you think is out there for like a $2 an hour job? He's like, well, I don't remember the political correct way to say this. Ding.
My snacks
but
are
maybe
dead.
One of those mentally retarded people, and he says it on the Daily Show.
Wow,
it amazes me that this part of the Daily Show's career, people will still say that shit.
Right? Don't they know?
Right?
Don't they know who Samantha Bee is?
Like, wasn't there a moratorium on Colbert for a while at the GOP, where they're like, just don't talk to the man. We don't give a shit. Just don't talk to him.
There was,
and yet. Still happens on the Daily Show. It's incredible.
They're sneaky.
My biggest problem with Facebook right now is reposting. That is... it is a bane of my existence. I don't care if you're liberal or conservative or, green in between. I don't care. Just make sure your sources are accurate.
Yeah, we're kind of in the place now where, like, it used to be like the news was good, and then the Daily Show is making fun of it. And then the Daily Show became the news, and the news is its own parody. And I feel like Facebook has kind of become that, right?
Yeah.
Like the Facebook is now the reposting place of, like, Imgur. It's like, if I really want something creative, or if I want to see a picture with discussion behind it, now I, for some reason, I have to go to Reddit, which is sad. How did Reddit suddenly become, like, the oracle of good discussion?
Well, because
that is quite sad.
You have the wider range of Redditors over there, up and down voting. Whereas, when you repost something on your wall, you're dealing with your own regular Joe Schmoes that you usually deal with.
So more along the lines that, like, Reddit, because, like, the cream floats at the top, you still have the bottom discussion, you just don't see it as often?
Another
good analogy. So you are just full of good
So
metaphors.
How come YouTube hasn't figured that out yet?
Well, I don't think YouTube is actually the form is a proper format for up and down voting. I think it is going to get refiltered through, let's say, Reddit or some other secondary source, and it just is a storage space. It is, like, how do I put this? It's the garage sale of ideas.
Oh, wow.
Wait, YouTube is a garage sale?
Yes.
So it's like eBay or Craigslist, really?
No.
So wait. So should Google just buy Reddit and use their algorithm to make YouTube better?
Exactly.
That makes sense, actually.
I think you're onto something.
I hope that doesn't kill Reddit, but okay, there's your suggestion, Google. Buy Reddit.
You hear us, NSA?
I was going to say, Google's listening, you know they are.
No, that's actually a really good thought, I think. Like, if you had the Reddit algorithm on YouTube, I would actually like using YouTube better at that point in time.
Hmm.
I second that.
And then we wouldn't have the rise of such creatures as Justin Bieber's.
You know, the petition to have him deported officially has to be considered by the White House now because it reached over 100,000 signatures.
Oh, no, we're past that today, Rob. Before you showed up, after you got off work today?
Yeah.
Here's what happened.
Uh-oh.
So, all right, so just in review, we had Bieber egging people in California.
Uh-huh.
Drag racing in Florida while drunk.
Uh-huh.
He just turned himself into the authorities in Canada for beating somebody up.
Are we free? Are we free of his tyranny?
No, we're not. But still, that's the newest development. He's back in Canada. He's just turned himself into the officials. He's now in Canadian jail. It's fine.
Conspiracy theory.
Can we just leave him there? Can he just stay?
Can't we just leave the haircut there? Him and Miley Cyrus, who are practically the same person, can just dwell in the jail cell together.
Please, God.
Okay, so restrictions on travel in the United States from Canada and Canada from the United States are bound by, let's say, criminal record, right? And you can't go to Canada if you got a DUI, right?
Okay.
Clearly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. It's one of those things where they have to actually issue you some sort of weird temporary visa sort of thing. And the other
They don't want you getting drunk and killing a moose, eh?
Like, a previous DUI bans you from Canada?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Indeed. So, does this... I think this goes along with him retiring from music.
Is he just pussing out and going home?
No, I'm thinking that he realized that there's going to be legal troubles in the way, and that he's not going to get his visa renewed because he's on an entertainer's visa.
Mm.
And so...
That's like a work visa for people who don't actually work.
Yeah, basically.
Which is amazing. It's better than a press pass.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm thinking that... This is a conspiracy theory over here, that he realized that the law was going to catch up with him, his visa was going to get retracted, so he was going to retire preemptively.
Mm. He fought the law, and he lost.
Yeah, that, and he was, that's when he went on his spree of riding around in that ridiculous car, drag racing, egging people, because, one, non-U.S. citizens cannot own property. Cannot own the property in the U.S. without having to go through some weird proxy company sort of stuff. So he's going to lose a lot of his assets he's going to get stuck in Canada. And good luck finding some shows out there.
That's fine. I'll just buy his house so I can burn it to the ground.
So, can we hope that eventually someday he's going to be opening up for Andrew Dice Clay in Toronto?
Oh! Hickory dickory duck, the Biebs was sucking my... Oh!
Oh, God, I cannot get that image out of my... I need brain bleach.
Brain bleach is over. Oh!
No, it's not coming off. It's not coming out. Out, damn spot. It's not happening.
Or should we...
No, let's just start talking, because I feel like... no, it's fine. The ding can go off. I'm all right with it. So, yeah!
Good push, princess.
So as far as this, we haven't talked about the Grammys yet.
Sorry, my headphones got caught on someone's foot and I almost died, it's but okay. That's okay.
Cord traffic. I'm not the puppet. You can't say this anyway.
I just about had beverage come out my nose. That was funny.
No, so Blucifer made the Grammys this past week, and I can
represent.
Oh, hail Blucifer,
the demon horse, and also the front page of Reddit yesterday. Top, fantastic. Like I couldn't be happier about the whole situation.
Blucifer.
You know what I'm not happy about though?
The Grammys.
The Grammys. There were some amazing performances and some amazing moments, and that's good. I think they've not lost touch with, you know, who's going to be able to put on a good show. Although I didn't appreciate how they cut off the last number, because anybody who disrespects Trent Reznor must die.
And he's big now, so he can kick your ass.
Yeah. Ugh, love that man. But seriously, there were just so many things that... Okay, the biggest thing I think that bothers me is about the Grammys, unlike every other awards show ever... is that those are by calendar year. From January 1st to December 31st, you have to have, you know, aired your TV series, or your miniseries, or your special, or your film, or your whatever, in that window, to then receive the award the following year for all the previous year's works.
And Kendrick Lamar released in 2012.
I was just gonna say, but that's the thing, is that with the Grammy Awards, in 2014, which should be honoring 2013's accomplishments, things from 2012 were still winning. Now, don't get me wrong. I loved the movie, and I love the artist, but Skyfall was so 2012, and it won everything that year for, you know, all the movie music nonsense.
I like how you're offended by that, despite the fact that I didn't see it anywhere during the Grammys itself.
It wasn't telecast. It was right. One of the pre-ceremony awards. Most of my beef actually comes from the pre-ceremony awards. I'm like, that's right, you hid them from me, so I could not throw things at the television.
So wait a second, I'm upset about the listings on the internet. Okay, got it.
No, I am, because Skyfall, yes, great movie, great song, go Adele, but that was 2012. There were movies that came out in 2013 that had amazing music that got, you know, shafted, essentially. Same thing with a lot of the smaller categories where people that would have stood a chance from this year... You know, they're still counting 2012, and I'm like, no, this was about the previous year in music, not the previous year in a couple months, because the RIAA, or whoever makes this decision, decides that, okay, we're gonna just honor things from... Yeah.
So, did you watch it by yourself or with people?
I didn't even watch the ceremony, because it aggravates me so much. I get the highlights the next day,
and
watch the performances, and read the commentaries, and... So
you could actually have some rage afterwards.
Yeah, I'm also upset at Daft Punk, as incredible and talented as they are, and they got a lot of the mainstream category recognition. I feel like they should not have won the Best Electronic Album, because there were several very solid albums in contention that didn't stand a chance because Daft Punk is so mainstream. And I'm just like, so obviously that's what people are going to vote for. I thought Disclosure Settle was a far more solid album overall than Random Access Memories.
Okay, so full disclosure, I'm with you as far as I almost didn't watch the Grammys. About halfway through, what was I watching that night? I think the girlfriend and I were watching a repeat of Saturday Night Live, actually on Hulu. And pretty soon we're like, oh yeah, Grammys are on. So we turned the Grammys on. Because I've always had this thing with the Grammys where I always feel like the Grammys are... a dog and pony show at best.
Completely.
Like there was a Simpsons episode where Homer wins a Grammy and just goes, oh, a Grammy, and he throws it away. And that's exactly how I feel about the Grammys. Like, the Grammys are not about the most talented musicians out there. Music is one of those categories where there's so much broad scope of talent and things going on that you don't really ever realize who the talented people are. Sometimes albums take several years to get to accomplishment. The way I see it is the same way that people go to like a hardware convention. Like if I work for Ace Hardware and I go to a convention downtown, like all the Ace Hardware people go together, they go watch like some country act, like do their performance. They all get together to go talk hardware for the day. And that's what the Grammys are. It's basically a bunch of people getting together for the year and be like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, we had a good year. Didn't we? Good sales. Good job, everybody. Like Daft Punk, you did a good job with that Get Lucky song. Thank you. You know?
No. I don't think it's like that. I don't think it's like a trade show. I think it's more like J.D. Power and Associates.
Like, it gives them an excuse to exist for another year, so like, yeah, let's go tally up votes.
Yeah, well, no, you got artists over there that says, Grammy Award winner, J.D. Power and Associates, 2007 winner for safety and fuel economy.
Kia Sorento, the Grammy Award winner for 2004. Yeah, it's like, you know.
Exactly. I mean, it's an award given by other musicians in order to perpetuate the sale of more music.
Yeah, because I mean, if you have a whole bunch of great albums in one year, then that means one of them still has to win. And well, that can be better than the next year,
true,
right?
That's true of any award show for artistic purposes. But
there's a difference with the Grammys and, let's say, what the Academy Awards do versus everything else. Because the Academy Awards, I feel like there is actually a thing about artistic merit. Music is because so many people have access to producing music that it's just so hard to categorize that for pure talent. And that's the thing. It is really more about, did you sell more records? Are you more noticeable? Are you at least talented enough to be here? So they will acknowledge a certain amount of talent with it.
Yeah.
And it hasn't quite gone down the path of, like, Rolling Stone magazine, which is basically just still trying to suck up to Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that bad. Stop. But there's so much music. And I think that music right now is defined by its diversity, which the Grammys are not.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people complain about, let's say, Kendrick Lamar losing, quote-unquote, to Macklemore, that's not really what it's about. Kendrick Lamar's album can be good this year, and if it's a good album, it'll be good next year and the year afterwards.
Well, yeah.
Like, Outkast lost completely for Stankonia and eventually picked it up for Love Below Speaker Box. Are you going to try and tell me that was a better album?
No.
Exactly. So it comes down to, it doesn't really mean that it's a bad artist that lost to another good artist. It means that you just had an artist not get recognized by the Grammys, which to me is like saying, okay, jump through the hoop.
Although one thing they did get right, they did not give that whiny little bitch Taylor Swift any satisfaction this year.
I just want to fear a carrot and see what she does.
I'm not even going to hate on Taylor Swift. I'm just saying it's the Grammys. It's about like how often does Best New Artist never do anything afterwards?
It's
the curse of the Best New Artist.
Thank you, Bon Iver. or like
Adele
garbage.
Was a Milli Best New Artist.
Garbage.
Hey, garbage is fucking amazing.
No, you can love them. People love Bon Iver, but the point is he going to get another
Bon
Grammy?
Iver.
Panda. You know, all those. There's amazing musicians out there, and it's such a broad category.
Milli Vanilli won it.
Exactly.
Do you think we have to give these back?
Or hell, today, what was it? This year, Darius Rucker won it for Wagon Wheel, an old Crow Medicine Show song, which is much better when they do it than when he does it, yet it won the Grammy this year. Despite the fact they performed it with him.
Let me posit this. It is an industry, it's an industry award in order to promote the rest of the industry. What they're saying
just
in
like
this,
the Oscars, well, or the Golden Globes.
No. Just like the Ace Emmys. Hardware. Congratulations, store number 187.
Right.
187. Ooh, that's trouble.
187 store.
What I'm saying though is that we've got a trend towards more of electronic music, and it's coming to the mainstream, which I think is a good thing. You know.
Yes.
For a while, the electronic music scene was snubbed as the new disco. Remember in the early 2000s,
which is awesome. The Daft Punk wins it with a whole bunch of like funk disco musicians.
Exactly. Yeah. It's comeuppance.
You know, I actually, and I will say this: I think that Daft Punk winning it was appropriate. That is a great album, and it's one of those albums that I think takes a little while to settle in. But it was about a year.
It is a good album.
Let me posit this to you then: how many people worked on that album?
I don't know.
You're dealing with at least 24 people over there that got a nod for a best album. You had so many people that were working with them for their little bit parts and little production work over here, that it made sense for them to have them win the Grammy. So you have a lot of people that can say that they've got Grammy credit. I worked on this Grammy winning album.
Yeah, but you can't cut a trophy 24 ways. That gets small.
No, but Daft Punk can.
They're robots.
Yeah,
I mean, I
have lasers.
And actually, you know, I think it's cool they kept the helmets on. That's all I'm saying. Like, I think they know what happened. That's the one thing about them. The collaboration, the album was great. The sound production was great. It was a great album. Is it their best album?
No, clearly not.
But again, you don't win for your best album. You win for the year they decide to finally fucking recognize you, right, Martin Scorsese?
Right,
Morty. That's the only reason Return of the King won Best Picture, because it was not the best movie that came out that year.
Not even the best of Lord of the Rings. It's like when we're talking about the Beatles thing, or like the Beatles played with Nirvana, they won a Grammy for playing with Nirvana, which that's kind of cool, but is it because it was a good song? No, it's because the Beatles were playing with Nirvana. There's this old joke from the Beatles, and they say, is Ringo the best drummer in the world? This is back when they were really popular. And they said, Ringo. Ringo's not even the best drummer in the Beatles. And that's kind of how I feel about the Grammys. It's like, was it the best album of the year? No, it's not fucking about it was the best album of the year. It's what did the industry recognize? Macklemore sold a whole bunch of things in the industry. Was it a terrible album? No. It was a pretty decent album.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about like Beastie Boys' Fight for Your Right to Party sort of situation, it's about on par with that. I'm good with it. Was Kendrick's album better? Yes.
I think so.
But the point is, he was the industry recognition. Kendrick is now receiving the industry recognition. And that's the other part of the Grammys, right? Do your performance so you get something else recognized. Yeah. Which I felt like the Imagine Dragons Kendrick thing was a little passing of the torch. I felt like the Pink thing could have just not happened.
Oh, hold on.
Whoa!
Hold on.
Watch your fucking mouth, young man. Can I just say the moral of the story? Award shows are bullshit.
Although, the Pink thing is now officially in my spank bank.
High five. I will high five to that. Mm. I enjoy Pink. I think she is a very talented woman, and I think she's a very good role model for women in the industry.
Oh, yeah.
And
also, Pink, by the way, as an artist, is amazing. As a human being, I think Pink is amazing. Yeah. And I'm not even saying I want to hang out with Pink at the party. I'm just glad she exists.
I'm just glad that Max Martin...
But
Max
when she Martin's does... When she hangs from the ceiling, and she's... I don't see anybody else doing that.
Taylor Swift, do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to headbang at my piano. Yeah, it's... Those moments. I would always see like Taylor Swift and Bruno Mars stand next to each other just to...
Oh, my God. You know? I was in a room with a whole bunch of Nashville-style songwriters, and they were just like...
Oh, yeah. Where did you see him at?
I was watching it over at the SIA,
Film Center. Yeah, with the Denver Film Society.
Can I just say that your post about... Should we take a drink every time LL licks his lips? I'm like, my God, you'd be drunk in 30 seconds.
Look, we were doing that in the SIE theater. I was just like, drink! Calling it out there.
That was just funny.
But I was in there with a whole bunch of Denver musicians, and they were doing their own little award show for Colorado music as well. And they're giving
nice. I love C Film Center, man. Like, it's still...
It's a good place.
I've been a member before, and I still love that place to death. It is just snooty enough that it doesn't piss me off.
Right.
And I like attending.
As an IKEA, like, frequent shopper or whatever, if you have one of their little orange cards, that entitles you to buy one, get one tickets at the Film Center all the time.
Yeah,
I think that's
a
really nice perk.
Yeah, they're doing something about a Raspberry Awards thing pretty soon too, which we should have totally attended. Exactly. They've also been doing premieres of Sherlock, but I've already watched them all.
Can you please find out more information?
I will find out
more information. It may have to be a live broadcast of sorts.
No, I will always have fun things to say about the Denver Film Society.
Press pass.
Razzies.
Right up and down, I can say I've taken ice luges at the C Film Center before of sake, and man, I still love that place to death. It's incredible.
Wow, that's like the most pretentious thing I think I've ever heard you say.
Less pretentious than Colorado was doing its own award show next to the Grammys while they were projecting it on a movie theater screen.
I almost got in a fight there.
Also pretentious.
No.
I said that I've heard you say. I didn't say that I've heard him say.
No, there are far more pretentious things to do. Anyway, that's not the point. The point was that the Grammys are always a dog and pony show. That they're always going to have this moment where you're going to disagree with them. And that's part of the reason is it's there to cause discussion for you to talk about the music industry for another
year. Then I guess they were successful because here we are still griping about it.
Fuck yeah.
And we will continue to for the next year. Or until they decide when the eligibility period begins and ends, and then we'll talk about it probably in 2 years.
And I'm sorry I missed the Katy Perry performance live, because Hail Blucifer. That's my other
thing. Yeah. Exactly.
Hail Blucifer!
Hail Blucifer!
Blucifer!
Anyway, Nashville, people at the SAI Film Center.
Oh my God, it was amazing. I got in a fight because they were just pissed off that a whole bunch of Nashville people got snubbed. And, I had the same conversation that we had today about, you know, this is about a changing of the garden industry and the industry trying to promote itself, and they're just not having it. And
well, because they're old guard. They're, you know, Nashville's such a huge, obviously, such a huge music, you know, city.
It's like the Petri
dish. It's an institution.
The Petri dish of music in the U.S., right? And Nashville, if you ever visit Nashville, has great music all across the board.
Sure.
But it's not the only place that does music.
Correct, but I'm just playing devil's advocate. I can certainly understand their kind of uproar because, you know, to them, that is such an epicenter, culturally speaking.
It's like the people bitching about the Yankees not winning the World Series. You know?
But here's a kicker for me. At the end of the night, it devolved down to, I started tallying it up, and it's like, I started calling people out on it. From what it sounds to me is that you hate electronic dance music, you hate any sort of electronic music, and you also hate rap. And I got a couple replies in which was, they said that, well, it's because rap really isn't music. There's no musicality to it.
You can still say that this year?
Exactly. And same thing with electronic music. And it was just like, there's no musicality to it. And I was just like, really? I'm fairly certain that that the Daft Punk album was recorded analog. By that I mean there was no pre-programmed sort of things. They were recording that sucker live. I've recorded analog before in the studio. It's like, not as good as they did.
No.
Bazinga!
They did it well. That's the whole point.
As LL would say, they were doing it and doing it and doing it well.
Lick your lips.
Doing it and doing it and well.
I just got really uncomfortable.
I mean, but that's the thing about the old guard. They're, and also from the South.
No, don't start. Nashville's kind of South. Let's throw it out there.
All right. I'm just gonna say that they're not very open to non-traditional structures of music. Granted, there's a rich history of it coming from blues to rockabilly, and you know,
yeah.
I get the history,
but it always seems like falling like A B thing,
yeah. And I mean, there's not a lot of credit given to the fact that electronic music, for instance, has a very classical structure. It has theme, it has motive, it has these different elements,
or at least good electronic music does.
Exactly. It has theme, motive, all these elements, and they're layering it, changing everything up, and it's hard to do it well. It really is.
Yeah, it's really difficult. When you think about like when we used to listen to Hybrid, and like Hybrid would have that entire progression, which sounded like early Mozart kind of stuff. Like very boring build up, but if you listen to the entire thing, it has a progression to it, right? And rap, I think, has actually gone through this entire thing where, much like country did back in the day, like when you talk about like the Waylon Jennings era, or even like the Bob Dylan folk era, as far as storytelling. And then rap had that through the early 90s as far as telling a story, right? When you think about Slick Rick, Children's Story, all those sort of things. It really has a huge folk influence in its structure. It's ballads, right?
Yeah.
And then when you think about what Kendrick did this year, and he's talking about a progression of him growing up in Compton from the position of him being a child, it's a concept album done with a folk tendency with rap production.
Yeah.
And it is still music. It's still very well done music. And I can't believe they can't lead credence to that, because it just seems like they know better.
Modern rap today has more to say than industrialized country. By that,
you've seen the video as far as like country talking about like we're gonna have some good stuff, talking about like moonshine and like she's gonna get in my big truck, and like it's like moonshine, big trucks, those short shorts, and that's all it's talking about for the entire year. It's like what they used to accuse rap of in the late 90s. It was like booty butts rule.
Impala, booty butt roll.
Get in my truck with the good stuff, lady with the short jeans. You know, it's like those Daisy Dukes in my booty. You know, it's basically booty music now in country. That's what I hear mostly.
That's kind of true.
Yeah.
I mean, save a horse, ride a cowboy. You would expect to hear that.
That is
in
a
rap song.
Yeah, that's a '90s rap song. That's exactly what it is, right?
Good call.
That's my thought with it. So it's more like it's cyclical, and I think they just aren't identifying which part of the music they're listening to. So when you talk about like structure, as far as what you learn is your structure versus what somebody else is doing, and I think that's what was interesting about Daft Punk winning, is that album. The first time I listened to it, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
When you get to like the whole like Touch song, you're like Touch. I remember Touch. Like, it's annoying when you listen to it until your brain just absorbs it and you're like, oh, I'm good.
It's Mozart writing opera. It really is.
Yeah, and even when if you're going to criticize someone like Skrillex is poppy but abrasive. And it's abrasive in that way that once you get used to it, all of a sudden it's boring. But something like Daft Punk is difficult to listen to the first two. And once you embrace it, it's no longer boring.
Mozart's Magic Flute was universally panned at the time, but then resurgent in later centuries, as one of the masterpieces of its time. I will say this. I think that sort of thinking comes from people who actually don't understand classical music. don't actually understand theory and are trying to lump it into pop categories that they're familiar with.
And I think it's interesting because the Daft Punk album actually calls it up early when... who was the little German guy that's on it? Do you remember his name?
Oh, I can't remember.
Klaus Nomi?
Is that his name?
The weirdo clown dude?
Yeah.
Are you serious? Is that who you're asking
about? I don't
know
about? Who it is. I don't know.
Oh, sorry. The first thing my mind goes to when somebody says weird little German dude, I'm just like, oh my god, Klaus Nomi, because he was like this weird like performance art pop clown face creep.
No, well, no. We'll have to look it up. But anyway, he's the one that finally accepted the rec or the album of the year award for him. And in the album itself, there's a section where he's talking about trying to figure out how to do the original analog electronic music.
Yeah,
and he's talking about how you eventually just have to ignore the rules of music. I mean, it's right there in the album. They're talking about
it wasn't Klaus Nomi.
Throw it out the window. And the people are just like, well, Taylor Swift didn't win. Like, you know, that's, it's like that moment, like, yeah, but she's paint by numbers. This is off the chart. That's a different thing. And I think that was what was important to embrace this year.
Based on that, people.
Anyway,
I'll allow it.
Let's wrap it up for the week. Everybody, thanks for showing up this week. Rob, Alex, ODT, wherever you are tonight.
Oh, I know where he's
at. Yeah, we know where he's at. We still have the bag with the sushi on the counter. Anyway, PortableChicken.com, Shotgun Therapy. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we're out.